Last weekend at my masses, I was given a reprieve from preaching. Father Chaz, he preached at all the masses. So it doesn't matter which mass you went to last weekend, you all heard the same homily. So quiz time. Uh-oh, shoot. Last week's homily, what was it about? Because, yeah, good, hey, good. A-R-R-R. Last week's homily was about praying. It was about praying. Like a very simple and timely homily for Christians, right? Like, isn't that a part of the life of a Christian? Pray, pray. And we get it, right? And still we get these homilies about prayer, about what it means to pray. And Father Chaz last week gave this very handy acronym, the Pirate's Prayer, A-R-R-R, as a way to give us a model for communing with God in a deeper way. I want to share this weekend a little bit of my own journey in my prayer life. Some of these stories you probably have already known because I've told them before, but they're just a good, I don't know, personal example for all of us as to how we are called to pray. It's an interesting follow-up for a homily. We're building on last week's homily, and we're doing that in the context of the scripture readings for the third Sunday of Advent. And today, we hear John the Baptist's contribution to the coming of Jesus. And what is the fundamental question at this moment, of course, that John's being asked? What should we do? What do we do? If you are a normal human being, you have asked this question of yourself probably 1,000 times in your life. I ask this question of myself on at least a weekly basis. What are we supposed to do, you know? And on one hand, we all kind of have a sense of that because, well, maybe I'm a grandma or a grandpa, or maybe I'm a parent, or maybe I'm a priest, or maybe I'm working, or maybe I'm a student. Like, there are certain parts of our lives that we know, well, this is what I'm supposed to do, right? Like, I'm supposed to do my homework, or like, I'm supposed to make dinner, or I'm supposed to go to work and do my job, like all of that. But none of those answers will ultimately satisfy this deeper, more important question. No, no, no. What do I do? What am I supposed to do? You know what's so interesting about this is that as John the Baptist is being asked this question by the crowds and by the tax collectors and by the soldiers and in effect by everybody, what is John the Baptist telling them to do? John the Baptist is basically saying, convert, right? He's saying, don't do these things and do these other things. He's asking people to change their behaviors. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone comes up to me and says, hey, you got to change your behavior, that is not a very well-received conversation, at least initially. Someone comes up and confronts us and says, hey, stop. And we're just kind of like, what? Right? We're just kind of like, I'd rather do what I'm doing. So when you and I, in a natural sense, are confronted with the need for conversion, like the very natural reaction is for us to say, But here's what's so mind-blowing is that in the gospel, John the Baptist is basically saying this. He's confronting people with their need for conversion, and what are they doing? They're listening to the guy. Everybody surrounds this guy. And in their hearts, they're asking, is he the one? Right? Why are they asking that question? Well, because they're listening to the man preach and they're seeing him speak differently than anyone spoken before them. And he's even calling them to conversion, and people are not running away. Now that is a feat, right? At the end of the gospel, it says John exhorted them and preached good news. They're saying, what should we do? And in preaching the good news of the gospel, including the gospel of repentance, we witness how the human hearts of all that were present are like enamored by this. This is a great lesson on grace, particularly a great lesson on conversion. Because when you and I are presented with the need for conversion in a kind of natural sense, if we're ever confronted by, like, that we need to change our behavior either for the negative or for the positive, stop doing this or start doing that, like, the first reaction is, However, the good news is this, that when God walks into your life, when God walks into my life, and even when God walks into our lives and invites us into conversion, that grace moves the heart in a very different way. When you and I are confronted with, you know, what we would call the discipline of the Father, the need for conversion, if it truly comes from God, we can be assured of this, that our hearts will respond in the same way that the hearts of the crowds responded to John the Baptist. Because when grace moves in your heart, even the grace of conversion, that will naturally lead your heart to have greater faith, greater hope, and greater love. And when faith and when hope and when love move in the human soul, we feel uplifted. It's attractive to us. We're like, yes, I want that. What should we do? Well, we should be converted. And when we hear those words that come from the mouth of the Lord, we're not actually going to be afraid of that call of conversion, because it's going to enamor us and attract us in such a way where we will say of ourselves, is this it? Is this finally it? Is this really the answer that I'm looking for? And it is. So that lesson comes to us on this Sunday as we're kind of following up from last Sunday on prayer. And like, what does that mean in prayer? Because if you and I are also honest with ourselves, that question is specifically asked by us, at least I ask it. I presume most or all of us have asked it before, when we're talking about prayer, like communion with God. And we sit down with God and we're like, yeah, you know, I've like been Catholic my whole life, or maybe I've been at least Christian my whole life, and I've grown in this relationship with God, and I've learned like this is what we do on Sundays, and we sit and we stand and we kneel, and then we go, okay, and then I pray my rosary and I read the scriptures and like all of my devotions and all of these things. And then we sit to pray and we're like, well, what do I do? What do I do? Like, that question especially comes up in prayer. And why does it come up in prayer? For this reason, because prayer is supernatural. Prayer is supernatural. It means you cannot come up with it on your own. Whenever you and I pray, it's already a gift from God. It's already something that we're receiving because God has already made the first move. And so if prayer is not something that we can produce on our own, well, then very naturally we're going to say, well, how do you do it? Well, of course we're going to ask that question because we don't know how, because it's not from us. We don't need to be afraid of the question, what do I do? If we're being asked to a deeper conversion in a life of prayer, because God has to reveal that to us as well. But when God reveals that to us, it's in a way that attracts us and leads us closer to him, and it's a way that increases, right, faith, hope, and charity, these greatest of all virtues. When I was 16, God used a very interesting means to begin to convert my life and my heart to prayer. It was actually my 16th birthday, and what happens on your 16th birthday? Everybody knows. Yeah, absolutely. You get your license. You get freedom. That is the day where, like, you're first tasting it in, like, a super personal way. As a side note, I'm a high school chaplain now, and I guess that's not as big of a thing for high school students these days. There are some students that are, like, 17 years old, 18 years old, still don't have their license, and I'm like, what are you thinking? Teenagers are weird. We were less weird when I was that age. At any rate, I got my license on my 16th birthday. First tasted freedom. It was wonderful. I loved driving. You know, you kind of have command in a different way over life. And so that following year, my junior year, I received a challenge with regards to my driving. And it happened during the season of Lent, and the challenge was this. Because you know in Lent, we like We're supposed to, you know, be better human beings. And so we're invited to do that in these small ways of conversion, fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. And the challenge was given, do this for Lent. You want to do some fasting? Just for Lent, turn off the radio and just drive in silence. And I thought, yeah, I'll try that. Sure, why not? Now, I walked into that in that first season of Lent of my driving, the opening year of my driving career, and I walked into the Lenten season with this idea that I was going to turn off the radio for 40 days. And when I first thought about that, I gave the reaction that like a lot of people give, which is, I don't know about this. I don't know how this is going to go. But I tried it. I gave it a shot. And so every day when I drove from to and from school, I would just turn off the radio and drive in silence. And as I did that for 40 days, I was amazed at the answer that it was to a question that I didn't even know that I had. When I made that decision that first year of driving to turn off the radio and drive in silence, the fact of like physical silence in the car opened up for me the answer to a desire that was hidden and that was buried because there was stuff in the way. And when I got that stuff out of the way, I began to see that I actually kind of liked it. I kind of liked driving in silence. There was something about it that was peaceful, that helped me to feel like I was like just resting for a minute. There was something attractive about it that I wouldn't have seen if I never gave it a shot. But it was a habit that I began that year. And ever since then, whenever I drive, even to this day, 9 times out of 10, I drive in silence. I just don't have the radio on. And it's amazing, because it's one of those times in my day, whenever I get the chance to drive short or long distance, that I just like get to shut everything out for a while and just be, even while I drive. I didn't know at the time that that was actually a movement of grace. Like God was really, really sneaky to me in that way, because I didn't use that time specifically to pray, at least not in the beginning. I was just trying to like, you know, be a young man and go for a challenge and prove to myself that I could do it, right? But it became for me the answer to a yearning. A yearning that we don't discover until we have this kind of like shifting away of the distractions, right? All the things that John the Baptist was preaching about. What do we do? And John is saying, get these things out. And when we remove these things, we're going to find a desire underneath that we actually want to convert towards, because it's going to answer a question that none of these distractions are answering. That's prayer. That is the conversion of prayer, right? We all know that from sunup to sundown and everything in between, everything that is possible that can distract you will distract you. We know that we're as busy as we've ever been. And do we have that time? Do we heed the call as Christians to real, daily, intentional prayer? Some of us here, maybe many of us here, do have developed that habit. That's awesome. Maybe some of us here don't, because whenever we try, we just kind of sit there, and whether we know it or not, we're just kind of asking this question, well, what do I do now? Like, do I just sit here? You know, what do I do? So this past week, Father Chaz and the parish leadership team decided that it would be a really good thing to intentionally follow up on last week's homily on personal prayer this week by giving us actually time, just a few minutes in the homily, to look at that question through this little piece of paper that is on the end of your rows. If you're on the end of the row, can you take one and pass it inward? And there will be we pray, pens and or pencils in the little sections in front of you that you may be able to just grab. You see, as a community of disciples, we are actually called to pray. And when we pray, we don't often, it can be that we just don't know what we're doing. And the backside of this prayer card, piece of paper, is the acronym that Father Chaz spoke about last week, A-R-R-R. Right, the very simplest way to explain not simply prayer, but what any kind of communion, what any kind of relationship looks like. Like, what do we do when we pray? Well, this. Maybe we try that. This year in particular, as a diocese, right, we've entered into what's called a year of prayer as a whole diocese, where we really believe as Christians that we're not just here on Sundays as a bingo club just to hang out for an hour and call it good, but that we're actually called into a deeper kind of communion that changes our behaviors and that answers the desires, right, that we really are seeking answers to those desires. So for us as a parish, as individual people in a parish, to communally commit before each other to daily communication with God is transformative, not just for us, but for our whole community. And this is one way in which we can spur each other on, as John the Baptist does, even in public, to say, hey, what are the distractions? What are the things? How are you going to actually make time? Are we doing it? And if we are we praying for other people who aren't doing it yet? Because they need the same conversion that we need, that ongoing communion. So let's just take a minute, 60 seconds or less, where we actually think about the practicals of this commitment that Jesus gives to every one of us. Will you pray every day in an intentional way? Will you and I make a decision every day to remove the noise, to be in silence, and to commit to that silence? And me, even though I'm most days not very perfect at this, my attempt at silence is about an hour a day with the Lord. And if we're not there, maybe half an hour. And if you're not there, 15 minutes. And if that's a lot, how about 5? Maybe start there. And make a commitment to this routine. Where will you pray and when will you pray? And how long will you pray? Maybe just think about that for 10 seconds, 15 seconds. Maybe I decide to turn my radio off. Maybe that's it. Maybe I decide to sit beside my bed in the morning first thing, in my chair. Maybe I say, hey, 5 minutes before dinner, that's my quiet time. Or maybe I decide, last part of my day, I just want to like review the day. Maybe that's my 10 minutes before I go to bed, where I shut everything down. We have to make these intentional choices, otherwise we're just going to have good intentions and we're never going to have action, right? When and where and for what amount of time am I willing to commit? And I would say this, do less than you think you can do, because then it's a win, you know? Then we feel good about it and it doesn't become something that strains us. We can always work up, but if we're not ready to run a marathon, totally okay to crawl, totally okay. And the second part of our life of prayer is simply this. When I take that time of silence and I discover those yearnings in my heart that come to the front when all the distractions are removed, how do I respond to those yearnings? That's the second question. How do I spend my prayer time? And this in particular is where we say, what do I do? And if you have no answer for that, I would suggest that you simply write the letters A-R-R-R. That's how I'm going to try it. I'm going to make time for silence. I'm going to take 5 or 10, 15 minutes to do with God what I would do with my spouse, what I would do with my best friend. To acknowledge that we are together, to relate to God, here was my day and this is what is on my heart. To take a moment of silence to receive what God might want to give and then to respond to that grace. As Jesus calls forth our life of greater conversion, We have to be consoled and we have to rejoice in the truth that when he calls us to conversion, as I said, he will always do so in a way that consoles us and convicts us of his goodness and of his love, and that we have nothing whatsoever to fear, even in our life of prayer, even in our confusion about like not knowing what we are to do. This piece of paper is for each one of us. It's something tangible that we can use to make a new effort or a renewed effort to be in communion with Jesus, who wants to fill us with nothing but his joy.